Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. I am your host, Ezra, and joining with me are my two co-hosts, Miles and Charlie. How are you guys doing today?
It's the full cast again, just to say that.
It's been so long.
It has been a while, and we're all back now.
Yeah, finally.
We're going to be talking about the new partner commanders from Commander Legends, specifically the red and the green ones.
So, and the Stompy and the Josiah.
Yes, that is correct. If anyone else remembered Josiah's incredible talk about a lecture on Goopy Goblin Brain, that is two episodes ago. That's what you want to be looking for.
Josiah's motto playing Magic is, why have a bunch of blue counter spells when you can have just a bunch of red friends go sideways every turn?
Exactly. And, well, without further ado, welcome everyone into the cast. We are going to be starting with the first red commander. So, Miles, why don't you start us off?
Kessig Trapper. She is 4 and a red for a 4/3 legendary creature human scout. She has first strike, and you can tap her to add an amount of red mana equal to the greatest power among creatures you control that entered the battlefield this turn.
And partner,
but
it's a lot of mana.
Everyone is partner, by the way.
Yeah.
All the monocolored, so everyone we're going over today has partner.
Right, so the 16 commanders that we're going over all have partner. I mean, I think I could agree with that.
She's a Gruul commander. I feel like that's kind of...
Right, I mean, the idea is that she's partnering up with Halana, which flavorfully and code-wise makes sense.
Halana,
we'll talk about Halana later.
Oh, I
but
see.
In the story, they are legitimately, like, for real partners.
Yeah, it's kind of apparent from the art. The art style is very similar, which, you know, you're not surprised by. It's the same artist. So.
Yeah, same artist. They're both from Innistrad, hunting down monsters and vampires and whatever. Yeah, I think Elena's good, but you need to be ramping. So
yes.
You kind of need green in there. It's a fairly restrictive partner.
It'd be really nice if she was just a 4/4.
Yep, that's probably true.
5 mana is a lot.
Right, and for those stats, 4/3, it makes it die to a lot of damage-based spells.
Bolt kills it, you know.
Right.
Lightning Bolt, like, not even, I mean, like, what, no, Lightning Strike.
Or Lightning Bolt, either one.
I mean, yeah, but, like, right. You know, I'm just saying the worst one.
Right. Yeah, like, a lot of things will kill Elena.
Yeah.
Time for the, monkey.
Even more restrictive one.
This
the
is
monkey
quite,
that's actually a goblin, yes.
Quite a suit this fella has on. It's Breaches, Brazen Plunderer. It seems so. It's
and
three and a red for a 3/3 legendary creature, Goblin Pirate, once again with partner, of course, and Menace. And whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to one of your opponents, exile the top card of each of those opponents' libraries. You may play those cards this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells.
It's like Stolen Strategy, but only when your pirates deal damage. I'm really not sure how great this is.
I don't know. It's a monkey pirate with a bunch of money. I think he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Our next commander is going to be Dargo the Shipwrecker. It's another pirate. Dargo is 6 and red, legendary creature, giant pirate, 7/5. As an additional cost to cast the spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less to cast for each other artifact and or creature you've sacrificed this turn. So basically, if you sacrificed a lot of stuff, then Dargo can be very cheap. It's a 7/5 with trample and has partner.
You know, I'm actually a really big fan of this card. Particularly because of one certain token, I'd say, that appears to be sort of flavorful with this, and that's treasure.
Ezra, you just...
Yeah.
Cat oven... Cat oven.
It's very hard to do in Commander, but yes, it's
Dargo cat oven.
But like, treasure's really good. Treasure sacrifices to add mana, so does like gold, but gold's less used. And it looks like there's some treasure in the art, but it's definitely really good.
Oh, so I see. If you sack the treasure, then
it reduces the cost by 2, and it adds mana.
And it adds mana. So you can, if you sack 1 treasure, then it's 4 mana?
If you sacrifice 2 treasure, you can pay for your 7 mana commander and still have 1 mana left over.
Does that work?
No. Wait, really? No. If you sacrifice 3 treasure, you'll have 2 mana left over.
3 treasure. Yeah, 3 treasure will be 3 plus 6. Yeah.
And also, one thing. My Skyfall wasn't loading earlier, but I was thinking, Breaches is very reminiscent of Grenzo Havoc Razor, which is seems like a similar boat. It's kind of a niche commander that some people play, and it's fun.
I think Grenzo's just better than Breaches most of the time, though.
Yeah, it's only 2 mana.
Right. Grenzo's also like a $20 code, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doggo, cool. I mean, it kind of does like one thing, and that's a big beater if you sacrifice some stuff. However, it is cool with theft effects, because it's constantly a sack outlet that you can just use to sack all the creatures that you've stolen.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think Drogo's cool, I guess.
So I don't know. I 7/5s that are virtually free are really cool, but once again, it's just, sure, you got a 7/5, you know, hit me with it 3 times.
Yeah, I mean, it's very good.
I think like the use that he'll probably get more isn't as much as like the big beater, but as like his sacrifice.
Because you can just out of the command zone just sacrifice a bunch of stuff.
That is a free.
You just sacrifice everything that has a death trigger with a Mayhem Devil, and then pings, and then
You know, now that you guys are saying this, it's making me really want to put it in my deck for something that we'll talk about in about 15 minutes, probably.
Yes. That's probably going in that deck. But yes. Miles, why don't you read perhaps the best elemental lizard to ever exist?
Ooh, it's another
one.
How
many elemental lizards are there?
Shh, don't let it know.
It's another one of the, it's the red one of the cycle, Familiar. Kedis Emberclaw Familiar. For 1 and a red, you can cast a 1/1 elemental lizard that is very legendary. And whenever a commander you control deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each. Oh my god.
It is extremely good when your commander deals damage. Otherwise, it's absolutely trash. Unfortunately. There are actually 4 elemental lizards. Kedis is one of them.
Scourge Spitter is really good.
Scourge Spitter, Vine Gecko, and Chandra's Pyroling.
I like this card. I think it's the best of the familiars so far.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it's...
Because it's usable. The other ones were all just very bad.
So far. I think the green one's going to take the cake for that one. But Kedis is at least usable. I agree. The other ones are going to be useless outside of...
Oh, him with a Fire Emancipation on the field.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, this card seems like... It's kind of like Saskia the Unyielding, in a sense.
For commanders only. Right.
Could you... I feel like you could run him in Is It, the blues, to make everything unblockable.
Oh, yeah.
Although I think you really need a giant creature for the other one, though.
If you can play, like, Gruul... I mean, you know, honestly, this is the kind of thing you could play with the big boy, Dargo. Because you can get out Dargo really quickly with a treasure or two, and then you can get Kedis out and get to swinging, and, you know, in 3 turns, your opponents will all be dead with both of them on the field. Yeah, although slightly unlikely. They both died of, you know, removal.
If I was to build this with anything else, I would be building this with Sengir the Dark Baron, which we talked about on the last episode. Just because it's a giant flyer that easily gets through, you just need to sack a bunch of stuff, make it huge, and then swing with it, and then it deals damage to all your opponents, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that seems good. Tanker is a really cool card.
I mean, Kedis definitely best familiar we've seen so far, but Charlie, why don't you talk about this one?
Oh, okay. I don't know what my sort of, what causes my sort of, like, appreciation for very specific cards like Kranko and Moltrotha. But it's this is just one of those cards, you know? It's Rograk, son of Raga, for zero mana. It's a kobold. It's a kobold warrior. It's a 0/1 legendary creature with partner and first strike, menace, and trample. Have you ever wanted to put red in your deck for, like, literally free if your other commander has partner? See, as someone who has never played a partner commander, yes.
But also,
what were you saying, Ezra?
I was going to say, but also, Rograk.
Yeah.
It is better for red, if you're trying to play red, than Prismatic Viper.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it just makes me speechless, just a little.
I love it.
It's so good. Like, being able to just... It's hard to block. It has first strike. It's got trample. The only issue is it only has zero power. So, the one deck we were considering talking about was... there's a Chroma, which was... There was a Chroma, which was pretty cool card. But a Chroma... Yeah, a Chroma allows keywords to buff creatures. So if you have an Akroma and a Rograk down, then Rograk will be a 4/5 if you have both, which is pretty cool. I don't think Rograk's very... I mean...
I like him. I think
I like Rograk. It's great, and it's going to be great as a meme commander, and it's going to be good in the 99 of some decks.
Ezra, we're going to find a deck that he's good in.
For sure.
No, honestly, sure I think this deck that I'm brewing up might actually be pretty good with it. But yeah, Rograk's definitely super cool. I think this card has kind of like Fibblethip potential.
Oh yeah, no, this deck is going in my Joyra deck for sure. It triggers Joyra for zero mana. Like, who cares that it's not an artifact? It's Rograk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, Rograk is getting some windmill slammed into Joyra. Alright, this next one is not going into Joyra, but is cool anyways. It's Togo, Goblin Weaponsmith. Togo is 2 and a red for a 2/2 legendary creature Goblin Artificer. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, create a colorless equipment artifact token named Rock. With equipped creature has one tap, sacrifice Rock. This creature deals 2 damage to any target and equip 1. So, to fully appreciate Togo, you must read Togo's bio that Wizards put out, because they released bio, like mini bios for each and every one of the legendary commanders in this set. And so Togo, hang on, let me just pull it up.
Dobby.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Togo is just the best weaponsmith boy, but do you think this actually has any real utility? Like, I feel like the price that you need to pay, like, 2 mana...
Even if the ability for Rock was just sacrifice Rock, this creature deals 1 damage, and it's an equipment... And you have to pay so much mana. It's just like, even if it was literally just an artifact that said sacrifice Rock, this creature deals 2 damage to any target.
That would be pretty good, right?
It would be pretty good. But that, you know how much like stuff are changing? Even if you took out either the equip cost or the cost to pay 1 with tapping it, or you took out the tapping it still would not be fantastic.
Yeah, I think they just
fine, but with all of these, it's just.
I think Togo had the opportunity to be like a really fun meme card that would actually see play, but instead, it's just a meme card that sees no play.
There's one too many taxes on it.
Right. You could do Targo Dargo.
Togo Dargo, yes. I mean, you could sack the rocks.
Right.
Not a bad idea. Okay, now
it's
let me.
It's not a good idea either.
Yes, yeah. But it's fun to say. Dargo to. Tar-
feel the wrath of my Togo Dogo deck.
You gotta yes, save exactly. for it to be fun.
Okay, and then Charlie. Here is Togo's bio. Togo, Goblin Weaponsmith. No one would have guessed that a seemingly ordinary Skook Goblin would grow up to become the greatest inventor in the history of Dominaria. Togo experimented for many years, trying to develop the ultimate weapon. The spear was a bust. It was too hard to figure out which end was which. Experiments with crossbows led to a series of foot injuries among the weapons testers. The design flaws inherent in double-blade swords are well known. In a flash of inspiration, Togo invented the rock, the perfect weapon. Harder than a goblin skull, it could be swung, thrown, or dropped from a great height. The rock proved to be so successful that the Skulk Ridge has been completely destroyed by overmining, a testament to the enduring demand for this design classic.
Wow.
Yeah.
This man
I'm
has
wondering, a... are rocks harder than human skulls?
Depends on the rock.
Goblin skull. It says a goblin skull. Goblin skulls are very soft.
How are they? Huh.
Yes.
I wouldn't apparently. Have thought. They look pretty soft-brained.
There's probably not too many wrinkles on them.
Look at Togo's wrinkly head. I don't think his skull's very heavy. I mean...
Alright. Karak the Thumbless.
Croak.
Croak?
Croak. It's a
like
palindrome.
Croak, but...
Croak. Cranky croak. The Thumbless.
Croak. Croak. Croak.
Cranky the Thumbless.
Cranky.
And thumbs pronounced with the B. Alright.
Yes, Thumbless.
One in a red for a 2/2. Legendary creature, goblin wizard. If it's so magical, why can't he give himself his thumbs back? Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, return that spell to its owner's hand. If you win, if you win the flip, copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. I don't like, but yeah,
it is great. You know that I'm going to build. I
flip a coin belongs in Pokemon. That's how I feel.
Yes, but also
Croak's thumb and Croak's other thumb.
Yeah, you know the story behind Croak's thumb. That's
I really don't care. If he's a wizard, no. If he's a wizard, he can give himself his thumbs back.
No.
That's so funny.
He could get his thumbs back, but he gave it away in a bed.
Ah, betting man.
Croak's thumb is a card.
I was looking at cards with the word thumb in them, and it's, you know, Croak's other thumb, Croak's thumb, and Croak the Thumbless. But then there's Mammoth Umbra, which happens
Mammoth
to have the word
Umbra.
Thumb in it.
Mammoth Umbra. That's pretty funny. Yeah, so Croak gave away his thumb in a bed.
Okay,
so.
Legitimately, this card is... If you do not have Croak's thumb on the battlefield, or Croak's other thumb, if your playgroup is letting you play that card, this card seems like it is like abysmally bad. It feels like a 2-mana literally do nothing, because you know on average
2-mana possible downside, possible upside.
Yes, 50%
of the
time.
What do you mean? You don't want to copy or expropriate.
Yeah, you don't want to but copy I also don't want to waste an entire turn. On
it's
I so
high
on
variance.
Average, it's like
yeah.
I mean, hypothetically, on average, it's gonna be do absolutely nothing.
No,
it's just
no. I'm just playing devil's advocate. This card
strictly
is
worse than Rograk.
In theory, yes. No, I think
not
Croak
in actuality,
is gonna be a hilarious deck to pull up at the table with. It's gonna suck. It's
it
gonna
seems
be
like...
really really bad. But when it works, it's hilarious.
Yeah, some games you'll take it in and you'll just beat them. Other
yeah,
games you'll take it in and you'll lose
epiphany.
So fast.
Yeah, like copying a Sublime Epiphany or something.
Yeah, it seems like a kind of like epic moment I would see in Game Nights with Josh Lee Kwai winning like
yeah, but if,
6 coin flips in a row.
No, it wouldn't be Josh. What are you talking about? This is a totally Jimmy card.
Jimmy.
It's Jimmy. And Jimmy has terrible luck on Game Nights. So
I mean, would it? We'll see.
I
think it'd be fine.
I want to build Croak. And Elegeth, which is the Scry Sphinx. So I'm gonna take Croak, and then I'm gonna cast a spell that lets me like Scry 5, and then potentially I draw 10 cards.
Yeah, but then you potentially waste your entire turn. I think the downside is just far too high.
Yeah, Croak is hilarious, though.
Oh yeah,
it's gotta be. You're not gonna play this with giant things. You're gonna play this with little things. that you're okay with trying to recast.
I mean, if you can, like...
Like a lightning bolt.
What if you made, like, a storm deck? With, like, a bunch of opts and rituals.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the way you want to actually overcook.
Well, I mean, hypothetically, if you have, like, a dark ritual, you can cast it twice, and it's still mana profit.
Right. You'd want to build this with, like, Grixis colors, I think. Right?
Hypothetically, we should move on to the mythic, because that's exciting.
Okay.
I like that point. That is a very good point.
It's only, like, 4 minutes. All right, yeah, continue. Oh, I'm actually talking about this. Jessica, Thrice Reborn, is 2 and a red for a legendary planeswalker. Jessica starts with 0 loyalty. All right, are you guys ready to move on to New Horizons?
Yeah. Okay. zero loyalty commander, yes.
What the heck?
Jessica, Thrice Reborn, enters the battlefield with a loyalty counter on it for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game. This will enter the battlefield the first time with 1 mana if it's the first commander you've cast this game.
1 loyalty.
Or 1 loyalty, excuse me. Then Jessica has a 0 ability. Choose target creature until your next turn. If that creature would deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals triple that damage to that player instead. And minus X, Jessica, Thrice Reborn, deals X damage to up to 3 targets.
This with Rograk, that's the only way to build it.
If you build it, I mean...
This code is not good. Like, at face value, it has so little loyalty.
So bad.
It's just going to instantly die. You need another cheap commander that you can play up before.
Why is it familiar? There's an argument for, like, Rograk, Son of Rograk. There's an argument for him. Why is the familiar just, like, the best card?
The best red commander?
Yes. Why does
are we make sense? Are we actually in agreement that Kedis is the best red code out of these?
I think Rograk is better.
Rograk is better.
Legitimately.
Like, legitimately, you think Rograk is better?
But, like,
better. Yeah, I think it provides more versatility.
If the option is a 1/1 elemental lizard or a 0 mana, 0/1 Cabal warrior, there's something wrong.
Yeah, because we're not even saying that Dargo and Elaine are, like, in contention, right? Because Breaches is bad, Togo is bad, Jessica's bad, Croak is bad. It's not like red didn't need help. Like, red needs help. It's not a very good color. And the fact that the 2 uncommons are better than the mythic and the rare...
We move on to the overpowered stuff.
Right. I have one thing to say about Jessica.
Because I read the mythic and Stompy.
Okay, really quick. If you have a commander, if you've already cast it and you have Jessica, it like in your commander is like Meraxes of Keld, and you have the perfect deck. 3x damage is pretty good for 3 mana. Meraxes of Keld.
Oh, that's a bad card.
The best red commander. Meraxes of Keld is a 6 mana legendary creature, human warrior. Power and toughness equal to the number of untapped artifact creatures and lands you control. It only needs 7 power. Yeah,
how
or
about
toughness.
This? How about this? Dracuseth.
How also, about this? I want to talk about green.
Okay, really quick. The minus X on Jessica is Jaya's Immolating Inferno.
Deals minus X, deals X damage to each of 3 targets, but
it's
you're never doing it.
Not good. Yeah,
all right,
not
but before we get into green, let's talk about
New Horizons.
Let's talk about New Horizons.
Yeah, let's do it. Would you like to start us off, Ezra?
Yeah, I will start us off. And the first thing is, well, obviously Commander Legends, that's the whole thing. But it's going to be a very slow roll. Cards are not going to be out, like, literally ever. However, there is Kaladesh Remastered. For everyone who is playing Arena, which there's not really a better way to play Magic at the moment. So, if you're playing Magic, you're playing on Arena. But, anyways, Kaladesh Remastered, which is... the whole Kaladesh block, so it's Kaladesh and Aether Revolt, and they're being remastered for Arena, and it's unlike Amonkhet, it is only those cards plus Sculpting Steel as the quote-unquote buy a box promo within the game. It's, I mean, there are some powerful cards, but it doesn't matter if you're playing Standard. It's only Historic. I mean, have you guys been playing a lot of Historic?
No, I don't play on MTG Arena, and I want to talk about the green cards.
Eventually.
We would.
Oh, I want to hear Ayaka talk about how there should be a second sun. That was entertaining.
That was last podcast.
You know,
well, Charlie,
if you're going to listen to any episode, just listen to like the last 20 minutes of the last episode, because, yeah.
This is true, but, Charlie, have you been playing a lot of Historic?
Not really. I'd say about the episode. It just depends on where your interests lie.
Yeah, so, well, the thing about this is there are some good codes, but they didn't print the stupid codes from Kaladesh Block. Notably...
Which is a relief.
Yeah, notably Felidar Guardian, Walking Ballista... And
hey, Ezra.
The last one, Smuggler's Copter. Yeah.
I would have.
Ezra, remember when you thought you were of the funny genre and built a Saheeli Felidar deck?
I was about to say, the day I see Ezra play Saheeli Felidar on MTG Arena is the day I stop playing Magic.
he played it for a minute.
In his store, I mean, in Pioneer. Yeah, because when Pioneer first started, I got back into it because it was a modern deck. And then, oh no, it was a standard deck. Then it got banned. I built that deck when I was like 7. How am I supposed to like not?
You did not. I swear you did not build that deck when you were 7, Ezra.
Okay, maybe I wasn't 7, but I wasn't even in middle school.
No, I'm pretty sure you were. I mean, that's when I remember you playing it.
Well, yeah, but I've had it since Kaladesh like released. So
Kaladesh released like 4 years ago.
Ezra, I want to talk about the Mythic and the Green because Stompy.
You're skipping like
multiple. We'll get there. We'll get there. Patience, young Padawan. Ezra, do you have any more New Horizons for us?
I was thinking about something and then I forgot about it. Okay, all right, yeah, why don't just we forget go to that the, ever happened? All right, and
find
now
in the meantime.
Yeah. All right, now we are going to do Treasured Find. Charlie, why don't you start us off with your Treasured Find?
Sure. So, you know, you won't get the. I don't know if you'll like this card. Only real Muldrotha fans will get this. Will enjoy this. But I think this is going to be really good. Oh, and this is actually something we were going to talk about, which might have been the thing you forgot.
That is what I was going to talk about. Good job.
My treasured find is Abyssal Gatekeeper. Abyssal Gatekeeper is 1 and a black for a 1/1 Gatekeeper. or Summon Gatekeeper. It was what it says on Moxfield. If Abyssal Gatekeeper is put into a graveyard, any graveyard from play, each player chooses and buries a creature he or she controls. Old wording, I know. But when it dies, each player sacrifices a creature. For 2 mana. Most of these effects tend to be around 3 mana for an ETB of this, but when it dies, it's actually really, really good in the... deck I'm making that we're going to play tomorrow. Ezra, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I will talk about this. So we are branching out into the YouTube world a little bit. We're testing the waters. And we are going to be making an untap, which is just an online free-ish, I don't know how to describe it. We're basically
it's like
be
really, really Commander. Crappy arena, but not for just Standard.
It's a sandbox.
Yeah, it's a sandbox. It's like almost as good as Magic Online. It has, I'd say it has, like, it looks nicer, because Magic Online looks terrifying.
God, the new Magic Online is, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look very good, but Untap looks decent, and also we'll be able to always see people's codes, which will be nice to see. And hopefully this gives a better aspect into what normally gameplay videos would be, because you'll be able to see everyone's hands, which I think is pretty nice. I think. We're still working out what's gonna be happening there. But
we'll figure it out. We'll let you know.
You should be looking for this video. This podcast is releasing Wednesday the 11th.
Guys, the new Rent-A-Girlfriend chapter comes out tomorrow.
That's Miles has more important things to do.
Yes, I've got
Saturday.
Yes, yes, green creatures to look at.
Yes, I've been Saturday. Waiting.
And then Saturday the video will come out. But we're almost there. Almost there.
We're so close. What's your treasured find?
Called and familiar because I'm sad it got banned and I loved Cat Oven when it was a thing. And I still love it.
All right.
Ezra, what's yours?
It's functionally unplayable in Commander. Mine is legit. It's Siren's Call, which is a blue mana for an instant. Cast the spell only during an opponent's turn before attackers are declared. Creatures the active player controls attack this turn if able. This is like the actual Oracle text. At the beginning of the next end step, destroy all non-wall creatures that player controls that didn't attack this turn. Ignore this effect for each creature the player didn't control continuously since the beginning of the turn. Essentially, none of that matters except it makes all of their creatures attack for one blue, for just a blue mana, which is not something that blue gets. I mean, this card originally was an alpha, but it was reprinted in 4th edition. It's a 10-cent card.
Alpha cards for 10 cents.
I think this card is like a blue board wipe. If you have big creatures and your opponent, and you force your opponent to swing in with their small creatures, including possibly their commander, it's one blue mana for a board wipe. I think this card is very good, and it's not like anything else that blue has.
Now on to the green cards.
It seems Miles' internal preferences have been revealed.
No.
Miles just likes green.
I get to read big, stompy, mythic man. Other than that, I don't care.
Okay, well, yeah, why don't I can start.
So you should start if Miles wants
to read that card. Yeah, I'll start. If Miles wants to read big, big, mythic. I will read Anora, Wolvid, Familiar, the best familiar. 3 and a green, 4 legendary creature, Wolf Beast, 4/4. And as long as it's your turn, commanders you control have indestructible and partner.
Agreed. Best.
Where would this be really good?
I don't know, guys. Maybe in mono green stompy decks.
Yeah, I'd agree with the big splashy mythic. I think Anora is just generally good with if you just want to add green and your commander is going to get.
Boom,
and
boom.
Your commander may or may not die. And yeah, that's about it for Anora. Miles, why don't you read our next one?
Hold on. There was one other card that I'm afraid I'm not finding right now, so we'll come back to that.
Okay, well, Anora is not bad in the 99 either. So note that most of the familiars you're playing in the 99, not as your commanders.
Next is Gilinara, Caller of Wirewood. I think it's a she. I don't know. They're made out of wood. They are 2 and a green for a 1/2 legendary creature elf druid, and you can tap it, add green. When you spend this mana to cast a spell with converted mana cost 6 or greater, draw a card, and its partner. I think it should be put in the 99 and never as a commander.
Ethan's actually playing this as a commander in the gameplay video to great effect. We tested the deck today in just a 1v1 matchup. It is actually not a bad card. Being able to reliably have 3 mana ramp in the command zone allows you to play every single 1 mana mana dork. So he's playing every single budget 1 mana mana dork, allowing him to play Gilinara on 2. And then on turn 3, you can do whatever. And then we'll talk about his other partner. It's a mono green deck that he's
turn 1. Later. Okay, here's a hypothetical. Turn 1 elf, turn 2 Gilinara, turn 3 Sol Ring into Terra Stomper.
Yeah. Or the other code that other partner commander. Ethan actually turn 1 Sol Ring me and then into like Beast Whisperer turn 2, and that was
into you.
I did not win that game, yeah. I had no way of catching up from that mana advantage. But,
drawing cards and being an elf and adding mana is really good.
I think it's quite good because the whole deck is built around giant. It's just mono green ramp into giant creatures. It's like exactly like mono green boom boom. But,
we're almost there.
Miles, you should have said yes to being on the Untapped video. Then you could play mono green on camera. All right. Anyways, Charlie, why don't you read the Kasig Ranger?
The counterpart to Elena, Halana Kasig Ranger, is 3 and a green for a 3/4 legendary creature, human archer, with reach. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 2 colorless mana. When you do, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature.
This is much better than Elena.
Yeah,
just being able to, like, just cast Rabid Bite every single time a creature enters the battlefield, that's just inherently powerful, and I think Halana is just going to be a good card.
I'm looking at what... Equal to its power to another target creature. That seems like it's a really powerful to another... What's the Hydra that has that text?
Voracious Hydra. The one that enters and can fight something? Or
it's a commander.
Golgos, Vicious Watcher.
Yeah.
But that's whenever Golgos becomes the target of a spell.
I don't know. This is a good card. It's, yeah, it's... Two mana for repeatable removal. It's not a high price.
Yeah.
Although we're making fun of the rock being 2 mana, but, you know, that's 2 damage.
That's not going to kill very much of anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Our next one is bad. It's Iktekic, Salvage Splicer, 4 and a green for a legendary creature, human artificer, 1/1. Yeah, it's a 5 mana, 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token. Whenever an artifact is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on Iktekic and a 1/1 golem. 1/1 counter on each golem you control. Golem tribal. Other than that, there's not enough golems, so therefore it's bad. Plus, green doesn't do like that great of artifact synergies, anyways.
Thank God. Okay, we had major technical difficulties, and I couldn't hear Ezra, and then Ezra couldn't hear me, and then we refreshed the page and created a new link, and now we're back. Maybe kinda. Ezra had to go incognito, and okay, here we are.
Okay, Miles, you can still hear me, correct?
Yes, I can still hear you. Don't worry.
Hooray. All right, we're no longer dead.
Party time. All right, quick, get to the big green creatures.
All right, yeah, finished.
We got 4 more to go. We got 4 more to go. Miles,
yeah, why don't you read Numa?
Numa?
Numa.
Oh, Numa.
Numa.
What was the verdict on the Ichikitekekeke?
Yeah, bad. Incredibly bad, unless it's with a white golem deck. Yeah, bad.
Okay, sounds good. Numa
Juraga.
Juraga Chieftain? What's a Juraga?
Juraga is Juraga an elvish speaker. Tribe. No, it's an elvish tribe in Dominaria.
It's 2 and a green for a 2/2 Why'd you legendary ask? Creature. Because I wasn't expecting an answer.
Okay.
Yeah. It is 2 and a green for a 2/2 legendary creature elf warrior. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may pay XX. When you do, distribute X +1/+1 counters among number of target elves. Partner. Elf tribal, kind of expensive, kind of feel meh.
We have Azuri.
We have Azuri. We don't need this.
I don't like cards that I'm like 3 mana 2/2. It's just, there's so many. The elf decks are already so slim on choice.
Right, because you're funneled into all of those elf lords. You have to run elvish.
Just play Azuri.
I think I smell popcorn. Give me a second.
All right. In the meantime, quick, Ezra, we're going to talk about the big creatures before he's back. But this seems like it's not terrible. You know, if you can pay turn 3, you play it, and you've already played a mana dork. I don't
think this is good. I think Azuri's
okay. Turn 1, you play an elf. Turn 2, you play 2 more elves. Turn 3, you can Numa and a 4th elf. And then turn 5, you're untapping with like 8 mana.
Yeah, but if you're untapping with 8 mana,
and then you can pay XX and swing for 16 plus base power.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather just pay 5 of those mana into Azuri and make all your elves 4/4s?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, Azuri is just so much better than Numa.
Okay, so we're still talking about Numa and not the ooze. Yes, there is popcorn, so we need to go fast so I can go and eat popcorn.
Right, now we're going to talk about Slurk, all ingesting. It's a legendary creature, ooze, it's 0/0. All right, I'm not going to make the joke again. Slurk, all ingesting, Slurk. Enters the battlefield Slurk. With 5+1/+1 counters on it. Are we ready to continue? Slurk. Whenever a Slurk or another creature you control dies, literally clicking off the podcast right now. I can hear it. I can hear the mouse clicking the big X in the top right corner.
What, people listening to the podcast just like chucking their phones out of the window? Just
yes, that's exactly what's happening right now. If you keep doing it, it's just. I can literally, the follower count is going negative right now. So whenever Slurk or another creature you control dies, if it had a +1/+1 counter on it, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control that has a +1/+1 counter on it. I don't know. I think I've said before that I'm a really big fan of Abzan counters. I don't think this is much of a commander, but Abzan counters is a really, really fun deck when it gets going. And if this card gets going, I get the feeling that it will snowball quite a lot when not removed.
I mean, the only way to get Abzan with this is Ravos, right? It's better with Rehan.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I got to remember what the cards are called, because then I can... Automation? Gosh.
Automation?
No.
What card?
Guys,
come on. We have one. We've got the rare, and then we have Big Stompy Man, and then I can go eat popcorn.
It's okay. Do you wanna read your card and then go eat popcorn?
Alright, no, Miles is gonna read Big Dum Dum. Alright, I got Kodama of the East Tree, which is 4 green-green for 6/6, legendary creature spirit, reach. Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, if it wasn't put onto the battlefield with this ability, you may put a permanent card with equal or lesser converted mana cost from your hand onto the battlefield. This is the deck that Ethan's going to be playing on our Untapped gameplay video. I think we're going to call it the Pyromancer's Gauntlet.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a Galanra and Kodama mono green ramp deck that aims to just put tons of giant, stompy, big, gigantic creatures.
Okay, I figured it out. Whenever a creature. Okay, I'm almost there, but there's definitely an infinite combo with Slurk that I'm gonna find.
Whenever it dies, if it had a 1/1 counter, put a counter on each. Miles is.
I'm gonna big foaming. Green. Next time I play you, I'm gonna bring this man and I'm gonna just stomp you into the earth.
Someone who is no longer recording with us.
Miles. gave. May have given people
some friends.
Link.
So he's going to have popcorn while I tell you all about this really cool combo.
Miles has left the chat. Yes.
Okay, this is really cool. So yes, as I said, on the battlefield, Slurk, or on the battlefield, animal animation module, durable handicraft, Ashnod's Altar. Okay, so play Slurk.
I think I know where this is going.
Play Slurk, trigger durable handicraft. Okay, yeah, so trigger durable handicraft. Pay one, put a +1/+1 counter on Slurk. Trigger animation module. Because a +1/+1 counter was put on Slurk, we can pay one and create a servo. We do. And then we sacrifice that servo to Ashnod's Altar for 2 mana.
Well, no, you have to.
Oh, no. No, you have to pay one. When the servo enters the battlefield, we pay one and put a counter on the servo.
Yeah, which then triggers animation module.
And then it triggers.
Triggers but in animation response, module. We sack it to Ashnod's Altar.
In response, we sack to Ashnod's Altar. And then we pay one, create another servo. But. When it dies, when we sacrifice to Ashnod's Altar, Slurk triggers. And because that servo had a +1/+1 counter on it, we put a +1/+1 counter on Slurk, as well as every other creature we have.
I mean, the end result is that each of our creatures become infinitely larger.
Every creature that already had a.
It doesn't matter. You can put it. It doesn't have to go on Sloak.
We need a little bit of mana to do that.
Right. So you can start by putting
However many creatures you have with counters on them, and you can put counters on creatures with mana.
Did you come up with this by yourself?
I don't know. It's probably been talked about on the internet, but I randomly happened to have animation module in Durable Handicraft, and I was like, hey, this would be really good with, like, one more card. And Slurk is that card, and this is, if you get this together, you know, I applaud you. I'm definitely going to make this deck, and I'm going to pull it off someday.
Slurk with what?
It's just going to be Slurk, probably Golgari, probably some
black Rayhan. Card. Rayhan.
Probably, like, maybe Sengir.
I'd go Rayhan.
Rayhan.
From C16.
What's Rayhan?
Enters the battlefield with 3/1 counters on it, and if a creature would die, then you can move its 1/1 counters to Rayhan.
Does Rayhan have partner?
Yeah, Rayhan has partner. Rayhan is one black and a green. R-E-Y-H-A-N. Rayhan Lost of the Obzon is one black and a green.
Oh! Rayhan. Legendary
creature, human warrior, ETBs with 3 counters on it, and then whenever a creature you control dies or is put in the command zone, if it had 1/1 counters on it, you can put those counters on the target creature.
Yeah, Golgari counters is a valid archetype.
This code's expensive now. $10.
Yeah. That's... I'm gonna make that deck. I will be making that deck.
Yeah.
And so we talked about Kodama, talked about Slurk, and now Miles isn't here to talk about the big creature.
The one that he waited so long for.
Yeah, to no avail.
Kamal, Heart of Krosa. Kamal is 6 green-green, legendary creature, human druid, 5/5. At the beginning of combat on your turn, creatures you control get +3/+3 and gain trample until end of turn. So overrun at the beginning of combat. On your turn. So, and then you can also pay 1 and a green until end of turn. Target land you control becomes a 1/1 elemental creature with vigilance, indestructible, and haste. It's still a land. So you can just make a bunch of 4/4s with vigilance, indestructible, and haste.
Yeah, it's a repeatable combat +3/+3 and trample effect. That looks like it's going to be... It's 560 right now, USD.
That can go down. I could see this being a pretty decent card. I mean, you need to be able to ramp into it.
It seems like it's an alternative to... It's not the hoof.
No, it is not the hoof.
But
the hoof is better.
It's a repeatable effect, but it doesn't give haste. But the lands gain...
Crater Hoof doesn't give haste. It gives trample.
Oh, yeah.
But Crater Hoof has haste itself. That doesn't normally matter that much. It could.
Yeah, but it's not damage.
If I was to build this, I would build Kamal with... Maybe one of the C16 commanders. I want multiple colors.
Galanra? You could play Galanra.
No, I'd go with Tana, Bloodsower.
Tana's definitely good.
Timna is also very good with this card. You want a low cost creature. Timna, very expensive though.
Yeah, I actually hadn't really thought about the combination, the 3 color potential combinations with C16 in these.
Yeah, you could also go, if you wanted to go wide, you could go Ravos Soul Tender. You could do the counters, dude. Go Bant counters. Vile Smasher would be incredibly fun.
Ugh.
They don't really have any synergy with each other, but still fun. Kamal, pretty cool. And that brings us to the end of our 16 cards that we wanted to talk about. Thanks everyone for listening and putting up with
only took like errors. 3 takes. I think it's around 55 minutes. So,
thank you for listening in. Send us a voice message, please. They were very fun to play on the last episode.
Email. All you can do it.
Okay, you can email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. You can now follow us on Twitter because we have a Twitter account, and there's one tweet, and it is saying that the last episode was out. There's basically no purpose to following us on Twitter other than knowing when the new podcasts are out. But there's that. Subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Be sure to leave a review. and a like and a subscribe and tell your friends. That is going to be the best way that you can help support the podcast. You're just going to want to tell as many people as you can. That is the best way to help the podcast grow. And please join our Discord. It's growing a little bit larger by the day.
Exponentially, you might even say.
In theory, yeah.
We have, infinite growth since the first day.
This is true. But, I don't know. Discord is, it's fun.
It's fun.
I mean, well, we have a little bit of a small community there. But, thanks everyone for listening and, voice message and sharing with a friend. Those are the two best things you can do for our content. And, and the last thing is go subscribe to us on YouTube and this weekend be on the lookout for our Untap gameplay video and let us know what you think. That's pretty much it. You got anything else before we get out of here?
Nope. Bye.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. We will see you next time.